Hey, what's going on, guys? Dr. Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited for you to hear this interview today. It's with a friend of mine, Josh Jeffrey, who owns Carolina Performance Training out of Columbia, South Carolina. He's a current physical therapy student, but also has a business on the side where he does individualized performance-based programming for people while he's in school, which is pretty cool. We did have one slight issue with this podcast. Something happened called audio drift, where basically the speed at our computers are not exactly the same. So there's a slight overlap and delay in the podcast from when I stop talking and he starts talking. And you know, I went back and forth whether we should release this or not, but this is just such good content, and I hate to take more of his time to do this again. And I think it's just it's minimal in terms of how maybe disruptive this is going to sound, but the content's really, really good. So I hope you guys enjoy it, and I apologize for the audio drift. We're going to work on fixing this so that it doesn't happen again. So thanks so much, guys. Take care. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. All right, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today, this is going to be a really interesting, kind of unique chat that we're going to have with somebody I recently got to meet up at a buddy of mine, his practice, Vertex PT, up in Columbia, South Carolina. Brandon Vaughn is a stud. Hopefully he's listening to this, because this is your boy who's on the podcast with me. So Josh Jeffrey, who is a current physical therapy student at University of South Carolina, and who is also the owner and founder of Carolina Performance Training. So I thought this was a really unique situation that Josh is in. I wanted to have a conversation on the podcast. So first of all, Josh, thanks so much for making the time to talk to me, because I know you got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, man. It's awesome to be on here. I appreciate you. Appreciate the opportunity, man.
And Josh, fellow podcaster, by the way, it's Better Faster, right?
Yep, Better Faster Podcast. Brandon and I started that not too long ago. Got some inspiration mainly from you and Joe, man. We liked what you were doing, and we're hoping to continue the conversation.
Well, I think it's a great idea. And you know, the two of you guys have such just strong understandings of both rehab and performance that, I mean, I think it's just such a good mixture. And not only that, but I mean, there's a sub niche in our profession that's been developing in this, you know, really for the last, I would say, probably 10 years that I'm aware of. And, you know, you guys definitely fill right into that sort of performance-based niche. So here's what I want to start with. So let's do this. Give me your origin story of how you ended up going from, you know, undergrad to your master's degree in exercise science, where you worked, you know, in the strength and conditioning field, to then heading to physical therapy school. What was the transition like for you?
Yeah, man, that's an interesting story. Probably not a very traditional path. I actually studied business in undergrad. I went to the University of Dayton, double majored in finance and economics. Actually worked for 13 months in as an analyst for a medical billing company, which kind of, I realized quickly that sitting in a cube just wasn't going to be for me. It wasn't that I disliked the work, but for me, it wasn't fulfilling. So I wanted to try to find something else. And I happened to, while in college, I played baseball at Dayton, and I loved the strength conditioning aspect. That was arguably as much fun for me getting in the gym as it was going to practice every day. So I thought to myself, that would be a field I really want to look into. So I began looking kind of online, looking at all these websites, college strength conditioning coaches, like, okay, how did these guys get to where they were? And of course, a lot of them, not everyone, but a lot of studied exercise science. Many of the head strength coaches had master's degrees. So I was looking into, well, you know, everything I know is pretty informal, me just looking, you know, looking things up for my own, you know, personal benefit while I was training in college. So I thought I might want to pursue a little bit more of a formal education in it. So I looked on, you know, Princeton Review and all those things, like, okay, well, I'd probably like to, if I can, pursue a master's rather than go and get another bachelor's degree. So I looked, and the University of South Carolina was consistently ranked at the top of graduate exercise science department. So I was lucky enough to apply and get accepted and started my master's program in the fall of 2013. So I moved from Ohio to South Carolina in 2013. and began that program. And it was awesome, man. Not only was the education great, but I had some great experiences. I was lucky enough to spend some time in the strength conditioning department at South Carolina, first on the Olympic side, working with baseball, softball, women's soccer, sand volleyball were the main teams that I was able to work with. And then move over to the, I got a small experience with the football side too. I spent a summer over with football, which was again, a totally different experience than being on the Olympic side. It was awesome. Got to learn a lot on both of those. All the while, I was coaching at a CrossFit gym. So around the time I moved to South Carolina, I actually got started at Carolina CrossFit. Shout out to Paul Beckwith for giving me a chance to start coaching there. It's still where we are right now. It's where I run Carolina Performance Training out of Carolina CrossFit. So I'm getting all these unique experiences. I'm getting to work with CrossFitters, your general population. I'm getting to work with SEC caliber athletes, and I'm loving it. But there was something that was missing to me. And that was the ability to, do what Brandon was doing. Brandon was in his Carolina CrossFit running a cash-based PT practice. And, if somebody had some issue that I couldn't figure out, Brandon was my go-to. And I was going to Brandon asking these questions. I was seeing what he was doing with people that maybe weren't, were just coming in from other realms, runners, whatever it was that was coming to see him. I was like, man, I really want to be able to help people the entire way. Because I was seeing his rehab was very similar to training. And I was thinking, this training and rehab really aren't so different. So I debated for a little bit on going back to PT school and decided I wanted to pull the trigger on it and started PT school in the fall of 2016. So that's where we are right now, is getting that, trying to grind through I'm in the middle of my second year of PT school and trying to expand the business, which I guess that's another huge part of it. The Carolina Performance Training, we started out of Carolina CrossFit. We saw a need for a lot of this individualization of programming. You and I have talked about it a lot of times, these group CrossFit classes, while they're great, and I would argue that the coaches that we have at Carolina CrossFit are some of the best in the country. I'd put them up against anybody. There's still a lot of individualization that needs to be done. It's very hard in a 300 plus member gym to have a one program that really suits the needs of everybody. And we began experimenting with more individual design, all the way back in 2013 with our athletes at Carolina CrossFit, starting to, not just our competitors, but people had all ranges of goals, experiences, or ability levels. And we found that, in my opinion, the best route and the easiest and probably the most successful way to help somebody reach their goals is through individual design. So we began Carolina Performance Training kind of as an adjunct to the CrossFit side of things, and just expanded. Again, me going back to PT school, I realized I'm not going to be able to be in the gym every day. So how can I continue to do the things I love if I can't be at the gym 24/7? Because, class and studying does take up a lot of time. And that is when we moved into more of the remote side of things. So we have our on-site athletes it's great. I wish everybody was on site. Of course, that's so much fun to work with people in person, but we've really worked to expand the remote side of things, because that allows me to continue to do what I love on my own schedule. So if I need to program at 10 p.m. on a Sunday night, I can, but I can't necessarily be at the gym at specified times all the time. So that's kind of how Carolina Performance Training started and my route into PT. And I'm really just trying to honestly blend those two fields. I think that I've been lucky enough to see great people who are able to do that and have been doing that. And I think they really aren't so different.
Oh, 100%. I mean, there's a lot of gray area there, good strength coaches, good kind of performance minded PTs. There's so much overlap, and there's also, it's very important in my opinion also to have that collaboration if you can. Like if you're around really smart coaches, to be able to, share people back and forth based on where they're at on that continuum. But what's interesting to me is the fact that you've been able to set up this side business basically. That you realized pretty quickly, I am going to have to remove myself from this kind of day to day in person work and make this more digital. So, what was the process like for you to do that? What was challenging about that, and what do you feel like was really important for you to be able to do that?
Yeah, I think the first step was figuring out the platform from which to work. So it started out with us seeing some success with our in-person clients, our athletes, really more on the performance side of things, going off and doing great things, winning competitions, qualifying for regionals, those kind of things. So I start getting inquiries from people outside of our gym like, hey, man, I'm looking for a coach. What can you do for me? And it started out with, you know, email and then Google Sheets and going through, you know, these different methods of communication and getting program and videos, the amount of emails and text going back and forth. It was getting hard to manage a large number of people. So the first step for me, most difficult was figuring out, okay, what platform am I going to use to be able to make this a little bit more seamless? So that way the coach and athlete relationship can continue to develop. And we landed on Fitbot. I tried a bunch of different things and I really am happy we found Fitbot. And that honestly has helped our business grow a ton because it's allowed it's cut the admin work down a lot. And that has allowed myself and the other coaches a chance to take on more clients because we're spending less time on the other things that, you know, that were taking so much time before. So that was a big part of it. And then also for me, man, it was surrounding myself with some really good people. We're lucky enough. It's myself and three other coaches right now. And hopefully got two others kind of in the wings that are learning a little bit and that are kind of more in that, that growth stage before they start taking on their own clients. And having these clients or these coaches that are able to be very self-sustaining. So I don't have to micromanage. I don't have to, look at every single thing that they do because I know that they know what they're doing and they do such a great job. I think those are the two biggest things is kind of streamlining the process was big. And then also I got lucky finding some great coaches, man.
So let's talk a little bit about the kind of nuts and bolts of your programming business. So this is something that this is probably going to sound very appealing to a lot of people that listen to this. Number one, they're either busy in clinic and they're working, primarily with people face-to-face. So clinical-based job, whatever it might be, or they're in school and they're tied up in school-based hours, right? And the ability to leverage your time a little bit or to be able to do something remotely is, I think, very appealing. So number one, what's a price point typically at for programming when people work with you guys? And in your experience, if somebody is by themselves, let's say it was just you instead of having other coaches, how many people realistically do you feel like somebody can program for without it really cutting into the quality of the work?
I think those are both great questions, man. We've played around with both of them, trying to figure out what's the best for each of them. As far as price point, we have kind of different contract lengths. I don't want to lock somebody in for a really long time if they don't feel comfortable with it, because I feel like getting them in the door and getting them started, they'll be very satisfied with the product and they'll end up being around for a long time. So we have 3-month, 6-month, and 12-month contracts for people. Should they want to commit to that longer time frame, because it does get them a little bit of a discount with that longer time frame. And it's $225 a month and up. So our cheapest contract's $225, but that, for us, it's more than just programming. That's a small part of the picture. So our coaches help that person with not only their training program and editing and sending back feedback on any videos they give that they send to us, because a lot of this with remote is video or this is in person. They're also helping that person with nutritional guidance. They're making sure that they're fueling appropriately for the training that they're doing, which is very nice. That same coach that's giving you your programming is able to help you with the nutrition side of things. They're helping you with more of your lifestyle factors. I don't necessarily like the words life coach or life coaching as much, but because I think it's I don't want to say it sounds corny, but that's really what's going on a lot of times. We're helping our clients with their sleep. All right, ways to get more sleep or to get more quality sleep. We're helping them with stress management, things throughout the day that they can do. So that way we're checking all the boxes. So the program, it is a premium price, but we like to think that we provide a premium service and a pretty comprehensive service at that. So that way the training, which you and I both know is more, maybe 15-20% of the whole picture. We're making sure that we're helping in all the other areas as well. So that hopefully answers a little bit more of your first question. That would be, if somebody wants to commit for a longer time frame, and we do have some shorter time frame contracts as well. If you're on your own, as far as how much you can handle, I think that is variable on a, based on a couple things. First, when you start out writing programs, at least when I first started out, man, I took a while on each person. You know, not necessarily second guessing, but you know, you're trying to make sure that you're checking all your boxes, you're doing everything that you think is necessary for that person. You're going back and forth. You know, it would take a while for each person. And then as you get going, you get more experience, the process does naturally get a little bit quicker. And then also if you can find platforms that you like, it can make the process a lot quicker in terms of workout editing, you know, via a Fitbot or Train Heroic or anything like that. It can be a pretty quick process in terms of the actual construction of the program. So I think that it depends on kind of your ability level, but it also depends on the type of client. So some of my clients that are, I guess, more general population, body composition clients, they just want to look good, feel good, move a little bit better, work out 3 times a week. That person doesn't necessarily take as much time as some of my regionals athletes. I've got some regional athletes that do 2 to 3 sessions a day, depending on the time of year, depending on their schedule. You know, a couple of mine are, like, own gyms, so they have weird hours. So they can do like 30 minutes here, an hour here, 30 minutes there. And they're also, you're prepping them for a certain event. So their energy system preparation is a little bit different. So those can actually be really comprehensive programs that take a lot longer. So I think it can vary. I know that's kind of, I hate using the it depends, but I think it really does depend on, you know, your efficiency, but then also the type of client you're working with. If you have a lot of high level athletes, you're not gonna be able to handle as much volume. It takes longer for those people. But if you have a lot of more general population, body comp type clients, then you can start moving through those pretty quickly. And then it just depends on how much time you want to devote to it.
So let's say you were a student listening to this. You are actually, but let's say you were a student that didn't have a programming business listening to this, and they thought to themselves, well, this sounds awesome. I should try to do this. I understand, you know, I've got a background in strength and conditioning. Where does somebody go to find clients like this? What have you found your most success with outside of people in the gym that you're currently at, but the digital kind of space, the digital area where you're finding new customers? What have you found the most success with? If you had to recommend, hey, to find your first client, I would recommend doing this.
Ooh, that's a good question, because I would say that is an area that I am constantly trying to improve. I do not do the best job in kind of the digital, market space. So I'm actually, one of my clients is, that's what she does for a living. And I'm in talks with her about hiring her to do some of that for me. To tell you the truth, we grew pretty organically, starting in the gym and people moving from kind of the group fitness to more the individual side. Then a lot of it was just posting client success on social media and then people reaching out after that. They see one of our athletes, you know, qualifying for, you know, a regional, or one of them winning this competition, or one of them performing, you know, doing this lift, or, you know, if it's a body composition client, seeing their transformation between like a before and after. We've really just tried to highlight our clients and highlight our athletes' success. So that's how we started growing. I'm trying to think about if you were coming from not having a lot of a background in this, my first suggestion would just be to find, you know, a way to kind of immerse yourself in it. So if that means taking on a client or two, a family member or something for free to try to, I hate to say that, if you're good at something, you don't want to necessarily do it for free, but to get a few people under your belt and to have, you know, testimonials are great. Having people, you know, as kind of evidence of your work, that might be a place where to start. But our origins are a little different than that, so it's hard for me to say what would be the best route to go.
Well, it seems like social media would be a really good platform to start trying to build some of these clients up. And it also sounds like if it's all this is the same, and the regional athlete is paying you the same as the person that's working out 3 days a week that just wants to lose a little bit of weight, and the one is significantly less work, it seems like that's the person that you should be trying to speak to remotely. You know, if that's the lowest amount of work for the most amount of revenue that you generate, assuming obviously like you enjoy working with that person, but Where have you found more people like that? Has it been more referrals locally from the gym, or are they searching you out via some of the stuff you guys do on social media platforms?
Yeah, so those tend to be more of our local clients. Our remote athletes seem to be more of the athletic population. They're the ones that seem to be seeking out, you know, somebody for a very, very specific goal. They're also usually a little bit more self-sustaining at that point, meaning that they can handle that remote coach-client relationship. A lot of our general body composition clients are more in-house. They're ones that we've either, you know, come through the CrossFit ranks, that might be one way, or they've seen some different things that we've posted, because we do try to vary our postings to kind of appeal to everybody. But, you know, just like everybody else, they have social media. And I think that yours is a great point. The social media aspect is huge. So I would say that most of our in-person clients are more local, our body composition clients are more local. And like you said, I think it comes down to, what do you want to work with? I love working with both, but for me particularly, I like the higher level athlete, because that for me allows me to be as creative as possible. We have, the nice thing is, on our staff, our other coaches, they have differing opinions. They have one people that they like. I have one coach that loves working with people who just are starting out. I have one that likes, you know, is more on the body composition realm. I have another one that likes more the sport performance side, which is another aspect that we're diving into, mainly with him as the head of it, more the sport performance side of things. So, for us, I think, you have to figure out who you want to work with. I think tailor your content to that person, and then get your name out there. I've done some things in locally where we go, go to farmer's market, go set up somewhere, go to your local Whole Foods, set up and talk to anybody that will come up to you about some nutrition things. Just kind of getting yourself out there is probably the best way to get started.
How has the process been for you with still working, a decent amount with this business, and handling, the rigors of trying to get your doctoral degree? Like, how's that been?
I'm not gonna lie and say it's been easy, man, or that I have it all figured out. I think I'm constantly tinkering with my schedule and how to do things and how to prioritize what and when. To tell you the truth, my professors probably wouldn't want to hear this, but a lot of times PT school isn't the number one priority. I think obviously my fiance is probably number one there. And then after that, it's my business and my clients, because, for me, they're paying me a premium for a premium service. I need to make sure that service is there. And then also I have these other coaches that rely on me doing my job. So for me, that tends to take priority. If it's, midnight and I need to write 3 or 4 programs before I can go to bed, then I'm not going to sleep as much that night. Or, if I need to study for an exam, but somebody needs a program, well, I got to get that program out, and then I'll start studying. And then that might carry, maybe that impacts a little bit of my own sleep or training schedule. So to me, it's kind of just making sure that, number one, I've got to make sure that my clients and coaches are taken care of. And then I kind of prioritize PT school after that. I've been very fortunate to have some amazing professors that do such a great job that, they set us up for success. So I just have to make sure that I take care of my people first, and then the PT school kind of comes after that.
So how much one-on-one time are you spending with these clients you have? So it seems like the bottleneck sounds like it's programming, but it also sounds like potentially it's sort of the interaction between them. So are you guys doing, some sort of video call, or is it via email? Like, what's the actual kind of in-person interaction, I guess is a good way to put it, one-on-one interaction that you have with these different clients?
Yeah. So no matter if somebody is remote or in person, every month we have either a video call or a sit down meeting. So I make sure that we get face to face at least once a month, just to chat, see how things are going. That's the time where we really address a lot of our nutrition stuff as well, is during that call, of reevaluating goals, things like that. How have things been going? Where do you see, where do you want this to keep going? So I have at least that one-on-one every single month. My in-person clients, obviously, I see a little bit more often than that. I see them, if not daily, at least a few times a week, depending on when they come in to train and when I'm in the gym. But our interaction, other than the face-to-face time that is dedicated for every client, most of it is electronic. Fitbot has an instant messaging feature that goes back and forth. You can comment back and forth on different workouts. You can, attach videos pretty seamlessly, and we can write feedback on the video back and forth. So most of our interaction is electronic. All my clients have my cell number, and I'm constantly getting texts every day about different things, especially this time of year at the Open, man. This is the most stressful time for me right now, since most of my athletes are going through this process. process. So I'm inundated with texts and calls every day. But you know, it's one of those things is they always can, they can tell, there's kind of a, I want to say it's an unwritten rule or anything like that, but it seems like, you know, general communication about the programming happens electronically. And then anything that's a little bit more pressing, they just text or call me to get a hold of me right away. You know, so, hey, I'm not feeling too great today. I'm going to have to take today off. Then I might get a text or a call about that. But if it's something like, hey, today's training went well, found myself, you know, feeling great on this and not so great on this, you know, that's just commenting back and forth on an individual workout. You know, we do have that face-to-face time. I definitely don't want to miss out on that, especially with our remote clients. I want them to know that I'm not just, you know, they're not just talking to, you know, a computer. I want them to know that that there's somebody there, a person that actually cares about them and their fitness journey. And so I make sure, we make sure to have that connection. But you know, most of our client, our interaction does happen electronically. And I talk to my clients a lot of them every single day. Some of my longer term clients that are really self-sustaining, it's not every day. It doesn't, it's just because it doesn't need to be, but they've got access to me pretty much all the time.
So, I mean, it sounds like for you, you have a natural background to kind of drive towards this, right? And maybe somebody that's listening to this has a practice and they could look at adding this as additional revenue stream or a different service option for their current practice. But what if they just feel like their skill set in programming in particular is not quite as good as they would like it to be? What resources would you recommend, or what groups that maybe they could go and do continuing education work with, would you recommend them checking out?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. If you're already you know, practicing and have kind of a good background in movement, I would focus more on courses that are going to help you more from the programming side. So something like, I love the OPEX courses, the coaching certification program. I've gone through all of those. That has elements of programming, elements of assessment, but you know, if you're practicing, your movement skills are probably more advanced in terms of what they're going over. But you get some assessment from a movement standpoint. They help you learn how to assess, you know, strength and energy system, you know, testing, so that way you can really determine what somebody's priorities are. They move into some programming, so that way you can learn how to take what you've developed from this testing or assessment phase to be able to drive the program. They do cover nutrition as well as a lot of the life coaching aspects. So the OPEX certification program is awesome. It's really comprehensive. It also is, you know, a little bit more expensive, but I found it to be worth it. I'm a, you know, a big fan of the National Strength Conditioning Association and the CSCS work. I think, you know, honestly, for me, I bought that textbook back in the day and just read it from page one to the end over the course of, you know, a month or two, just sitting down, reading a little bit each every day. I think that does a great job of starting to outline, you know, the initial and basic concepts of say periodization, or, you know, how to start training different energy systems. It also has a nice, you know, background in the bioenergetic side of things. So if you feel like you need to brush up on that kind of thing, I think that course, and then, you know, being a member and getting that content that they keep putting out is great too. I think if you're going to work with anybody who does weightlifting, I would look into one or both of the following two courses. The USAW course does have a little bit of a programming aspect to it. It's really more first to learn the lifts. And then also I like Quinn Hennick's course. The clinical athlete weightlifting course was great as well. So I think, you know, it might be a little bit of, you got to figure out the population you want to work with and let that drive you a little bit. And then if you really think you need help or want more information on the energy system side of things, which seems to be the area where I get the most questions, I love anything that Joel Jameson puts out. He has, I've read his book, which I think is great. He also has a course. I haven't taken the course yet, but I most likely will. That book is Ultimate MMA Conditioning, but it doesn't just apply to fighters. It applies, you know, universally. And then he has a certified conditioning coach course. So if you're looking into energy system work, I would probably go that route.
Joel's a smart dude, man. I remember when we talked to him on the Doc and Jock podcast. I was very impressed with what he had to say, and just the knowledge level is very apparent. So yeah, definitely his stuff is great. What's your goal with this company, man? I mean, pretty soon you're going to graduate. So you got, what, another year and a half?
Yep, 2019, man. It's starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel just a little bit.
Yeah, it's really soon. And so you'll graduate and then you're going to want to, you know, use your skill set as well from what you learned in school. So what do you see the evolution of Carolina performance training, or is it part of something else?
Yeah, man, I love the coaching and training side, and I am growing to love this PT side. And as selfish as it may sound, I want to be able to do both. And I really feel like that's a possibility. So my long-term goal here is to have a, you know, a facility that can handle all of it, that has a PT side. Still debating whether that'll be a cash-based side or maybe a hybrid type clinic. I like the way Brandon and Jim do things at Vertex PT. I think that I do like that model. I was lucky enough to spend time there on a rotation. So either a cash-based or maybe a hybrid type PT model on one side, and then a fitness facility on the other side that employs coaches, and then also, you know, employing PTs on the other side, to where I get to do a little bit of both. Maybe I'm treating, you know, 20 hours of the week is spent more treating, you know, 15 to 20 hours treating. And then also I'm getting to coach the rest of my time on the opposite side and programming too. So my ideal situation is to kind of have a little bit of it all. So that would be the plan going forward. I don't know. I know we talked a little bit about this on whether to open that clinic right after graduation is the right move or not, but I got a year and a half to kind of figure that part out.
Well, definitely. I mean, well, I think it depends on, you know, are you rolling right into people that know who you are and want to work with you from day one? In your case, potentially, maybe that's it if it's where you're currently at, right? If you already have athletes that would want to work with you. So it's sort of a unique situation, you know. I guess the big question is, you know, a lot of students are, student loans are a big deal. Like it's expensive to go back to school. So number one, do you feel like it's worth it from what you're learning and for what you're going to be able to do? And then also too, how has your company that you currently have been able to offset some of that debt that you're going to incur in student loans?
Yeah, I think that's the $1 million question. It seems like right now, if you look at all these student forums and things like that, where they're talking about, okay, is the debt to income ratio worth it for PT? And to tell you the truth, I love it. I'm extremely happy that I decided to make the jump to go back to school. And yes, having the business has helped offset the cost. That's so unfortunate in that regard. But even if the business wasn't able to offset it as much as it has, I think for me, the what I'm obtaining knowledge wise and experience wise, I really wouldn't trade it for anything. I've loved my time at the University of South Carolina. And if you're a prospective student looking for a school, I would highly recommend looking into USC. But I think I can understand why people are going that route with these, you know, declining reimbursement rates, entry PT level salaries. You know, the more info you see on it, it's kind of depressing, honestly, when you know how much, you know, money it costs to obtain that degree. So for me, that's one reason I really want to set up the clinic or the situation that I really want to work in long term. And that is either doing one of those like cash based or hybrid models where it's one-on-one and I'm really getting to provide the best care possible. And if that, you know, maybe that is not the best financial decision. I know you can make a lot more money if you want to run a mill, but I just couldn't do that or couldn't work in one of those situations. So for me, having the fitness side will hopefully allow me to have that type of clinic. So yes, on both accounts, having the business or being able to do this has been helpful from a cost perspective of PT school. But even though PT school is expensive, man, I'm glad that I made the jump to go ahead and do it.
Well, I tell you, I see some of that stuff too with students. And, I see it as there's so much opportunity currently. There's a lot of change that's occurring. There's a lot of unknown, but those are the times where people that are willing to take a chance on themselves can springboard themselves into significant positions, not just in terms of building a business, but also, you know, having a huge impact on the profession. And I honestly believe that this sort of hybrid approach in terms of understanding both how to use your hands and more of like the rehabilitation, I guess, portion of it, getting people out of pain, but then getting those people moving really well and also understanding how to talk to them about dealing with stress, dealing with management of sleep. You know, you have a new baby in the house. Like, look, there's sleep issues that are going to occur. It's unavoidable. You know, how do you deal with those things? And How do you deal with what you put in your body, and how do you set those things up correctly? Like, that skill set is very rare. And anytime you can slap, you know, doctor on the front of your name, it gives you instant credibility compared to somebody that doesn't have that, right? It's almost an unfair advantage. So, I mean, I think if you're interested in just going to school and working for the VA hospital or whatever, I mean, nothing against the VA hospital, but something like, you know, like a stable like job like that. I don't know if I would recommend somebody do it, but if you are interested in doing something on your own and having this kind of really cool autonomy, I mean, I just think it's such a cool, unique time for us to be, you know, physical therapists, but also in this performance kind of role that's just developing more and more and more. I think you're positioning yourself to be in a really good spot and, you know, potentially a leader in our field going forward with the background that you already have.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I think you're right. And I don't want to sound like I don't appreciate the people that do have those other type of those jobs where they are, you know, like you say, the VA, for example, or anything like that. I think that's needed in terms of some of those positions are needed. But for me personally, it's just not what I want. So I'm in my long term, I kind of already have in my mind what my practice or how, you know, how I'm practicing looks. And so for me, I'm trying to just do things now to be able to set myself up for that. So that way, if I want to start a clinic and I don't necessarily have the influx of patients that I would like as you're starting a clinic, you know, as it gets rolling, I kind of have this other, you know, side, you know, I guess a side gig, but really this other business that allows me to be able to take the time to set that up. So I think if people want to move into that model, I think the first thing I would do, immerse yourself in the fitness side of things, man. Go, even if you don't like CrossFit, join a CrossFit gym just because you get to see hundreds of people move and watch and learn and see if you can, you know, find a way to coach a little bit, you know, get yourself started in there. It's going to make you a better clinician, but you might find that it allows you to pursue maybe these other things that you know, you might not thought you'd be able to.
Man, that's such good advice. I agree. I think if you can manage a group of 20 people with verbal cueing almost exclusively, it's, you can do pretty damn well one-on-one. Like, it's just so much easier, right? I mean, I think that's such good advice. And I recommend that students coach or train, you know, while they're in school or in preparation to going to school, because, you know, my experience coaching and a lot of this like group-based work for me started in the military when we're out on, you know, at PT and there's like 40 people that many of them literally are motor morons and they just don't move very well, you know, and you can't go over and spot correct everybody. So you have to really kind of learn how to triage and then verbally on the spot, how to fix things and get really simplified with what you say for people to make changes. And that's really hard to do. I think that's something that has to be learned and you don't learn it quickly, but if you can distill that stuff down, your skill set as a clinician will improve dramatically. So man, great advice. This has been really one of my favorite conversations I've had on this podcast. And I think it's such a unique opportunity for our profession and even PT students that are listening to this. Like, I mean, dude, do the numbers. You know, if you program for four people while you're in school and it's $250 a month, you know, you'll make $1,000 a month while you're still in school. And now that may not offset school, but man, that'll sure as hell help with something that you can do without having to necessarily be there one-on-one, which is a pretty unique way of working with people. So if people are interested in learning more about your practice or reaching out to you, where can they do that?
Yeah, I think going to carolinaperformancetraining.com, you'll find out what everything that we do as a business, or on Instagram is probably where we're most active. That's at CPT_strength. We're actually about to, I just hired another coach that is more specializes in the nutrition side of things. So we're kind of rolling out kind of another revenue line of just, yeah, of nutrition coaching too. So you'll be able to see more about that and how she takes off with that. So those are probably the easiest ways to find out what we're doing.
Cool. This has been great. Josh, thanks so much for your time. Good luck with the rest of school. Don't worry, man. Like if you finish first in the class or last in your class, you still are a doctor.
I'll have to remember that.
Because you got other shit going on and I love it. It's awesome.
Well, hey, I appreciate you having me on, man. It's been a pleasure.
Cool, brother. Thanks so much.